What is your purpose in life? Is that a question you know the answer to, or are you still trying to figure it out? Long-term recovery becomes much easier to maintain when you find your purpose and you're living it. But if you really don't know what your purpose is, it can be hard to know where to start. Stay tuned for a great conversation about how to go about finding your purpose and what it feels like to be living it.
Welcome to Through the Glass Recovery Podcast, where we believe that connection is the opposite of addiction, vulnerability is the antidote to shame, and that recovery isn't just rewarding, but it's also a lot of fun. We're your hosts, Julie and Steve. Listen as we get together with friends to shed light on the hard things, talk about the other side of addiction, and how we create a life so full there's no space left for alcohol.
Before we jump into today's episode, I want to share something with you guys. If you're still on the fence about coming to one of our Monday night support Zoom meetings, listen to this message we received from someone who comes regularly.
He said, "Once I started going to your Monday night Zoom meetings, my recovery journey took a huge step forward. I was white-knuckling sobriety until I joined the meeting. Through this meeting, I have met a community of like-minded people. Recovery looks different for everyone, but to have a community supporting you is the best."
You guys, these meetings are free for everyone. Come check one out. You can get all the details when you visit our website, throughtheglassrecovery.com. We would love to meet you.
Okay, hey everybody. It's really good to see you all and hang out this evening. We've got John, Michael, and Gary with us tonight. Super excited. I'm going to pick on Michael first because she's like done this before. She's kind of a through the glass regular. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael?
Absolutely. Hi, Julie, Steve, John, Gary, everybody. Good to see y'all.
Nice to see you again, Michael.
Yeah,
nice to see you again.
Nice to see you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Michael. I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I am 43 years old, and I have been in and around recovery for a minute. I started working on my recovery in my late 20s. In that time, I've amassed somewhere over 13 years of sobriety, not all consecutively. Most recently, I have been haven't had a drink in just over 90 days. So, I have a bit of a mixture of the perspective on being new to recovery and a bit of perspective on having some time under my belt. So it can be an interesting little dynamic there. So excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And you know what? I love that perspective. You have so much to share and so much to offer. And I love hearing all of your wisdom and experience. So it's really nice to have you back again. And we're going to go with John next. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, John?
Hello, everybody. My name's John. I've been sober for about, I want to say, 16 years. I was forced to be sober because I made by the law, basically, I did some dumb things and I was forced to it's kind of an interesting thing because I didn't do it necessarily on my own initially. I was forced to. So now I had to find a bunch of things that, feel comfortable doing with, a lot of exercising. I got into writing. And of course, when my daughter was born, I wanted to, be a good father figure to her. So, I'm very regretful that it wasn't on my own power that I became sober. And I think that I struggle with that a lot, to find ways to just, keep it going just by, being motivated to, just find other things to keep it, keep my sobriety going. And just, I fear that I could go off the rails at any time. And I've had a good run, but I just feel like I have to keep reinventing myself and, just do the right things.
Really cool. Well, I'm glad you were forced to be sober and that you're here with us today. And yeah, it's a journey for sure, right? I think we all find that we're reinventing ourselves every so often. And so, yeah, really, really excited to hear more about what you have to say tonight. And nice to meet you. And last but not least, we have Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. My name is Gary Shirey. I'm the owner of Bub's Grub's Food Truck. I'm from Lincoln, Delaware. I've got over 7 years clean from shooting heroin. I came a long way. 11/29/16 is my clean date. And I live to inspire people, man. I built my food truck off of watching YouTube videos. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just put some things together and put this piece of stainless here and that piece of stainless there. And I have one of my friends that he was very savvy with electrical and stuff like that. So anything, he wouldn't necessarily do it for me, but he was willing to teach me things that I didn't know. And I built it in his front yard, and now I've gained a little over 4,000 followers on Facebook, and I like to inspire people. I got a WBRC interview on Friday, so a little nervous, but I'm ready for it.
Right on.
Awesome. Really cool. Well, yeah, this is good practice, right? Yeah, super happy to have you here. Love your purpose to inspire others, and that kind of carries us into our topic for the evening, which is one of the keys to staying sober for the long term is finding and then living out your purpose. But sometimes that's easier said than done. So how does one go about finding their purpose? Where are you at on this journey? Do you know exactly what you're meant to be doing, or are you still kind of figuring it out?
So interestingly enough, part of finding my journey involved having a tarot card reading not too long ago. I've been going through a transition of potentially changing jobs, and while considering that, I had one of the people in the community do a tarot reading for me. And she mentioned one of the cards that came up was specific to like my career path that I'm on now. And she said, this indicates that you are exactly where you should be. Like, and I've struggled with imposter syndrome. I've struggled with these things. And she said, this card, it shows your anxiety. Like your anxiety is this little rabbit right here. It's there, but it's manageable, you know. And it really got me to thinking. And then, of course, hearing this topic, kind of looking bigger picture. You know, my purpose has always been to help, whether it's helping people, whether it's helping animals. I got into the healthcare industry very early. I got my first job in a hospital at 19. And the thing I loved about it was connecting with others and helping others. And I have this ability to kind of help people be at ease. They want to tell me what's going on. And so now as my career has transitioned, I'm in human resources now. And it's changed my perspective on what it means to help others. I'm still, you know, it's not the hands-on patient care that I once defined it as, but now it's helping the, you know, employees to be successful in their roles so that they can provide good care so that, you know, and it's just definitely still figuring it out. But I feel like I have a big picture on my purpose, like kind of, you know, this direction is what fuels me. But what that looks like specifically is still very much growing and changing and becomes a little clearer, I think, with sobriety as I go down that path.
For sure. I think one thing that I've learned about finding purpose, and this seems to ring true for everybody that I've talked to about this topic, our purpose has something to do with helping other people. And I think every single human on this earth has a gift. And it might be teaching, and it might be compassion, and it might be caretaking, and it might be, you know, cooking, like Gary or whatever it is. But if we find a way to use that gift to help other people, we're making our lives feel full, and we're also helping someone else's life feel full. And I think that, you know, that seems to be a common theme no matter who you talk to. If they feel like they're even sort of walking in the direction of their purpose, it seems that it has something to do with helping other people.
When it comes to like living in your purpose, I get kind of confused with that because it's like I've tried a lot of different things. Like I like to cook, don't get me wrong, like I love to cook. I got the best cheesesteaks in Delaware. Like I'm literally and they got like a best of Delaware like ratings thing right now, like for the magazines and stuff. And I'm in the top five elimination round for the best food truck downstate and the best cheesesteaks downstate. But to be honest, like I feel like my passion is more of speaking. Like I'm very winded. I can talk for a long time, and I can not just talk. Like some people can talk and they're boring when they're just going on and on. when I get into my zone, like I can motivate a room. I can push somebody to like, yo, man, we got to get up and go do something like that. That's, I feel like if you're not inspiring somebody like that, like you got to work on some things because that's what we need to do. And it's not always about giving a hand out. It's more so about giving a hand up. There's some people that are very intelligent. I know a lot of addicts that are actively using that are so talented, like very, very talented. Like when it comes to like construction work or concrete work or just a bunch of random things. And they're so talented, they just can't get out of their own way. Me, I operate well in chaos. Like I can see somebody actively using and it doesn't trigger me to want to go use. It reminds me of where I was when I was in their shoes. So it's hard, man.
So when I think about this, the first thing, like when I think of what is my purpose, one of the things I go back to before I think of what is my purpose, I think of what is my gift. Because if I don't know what my gift is, I'm really going to be chasing my purpose. And so once I figure out what my gift is, and let's be honest about this, that is a hard task to figure out. Some of us are really lucky and we know what that gift is. We just live that gift out. And some of us are like, what the heck am I supposed to, what the heck am I here for? What is my gift? I don't know what my gift is. Well, what am I good at? Well, I don't think I'm good at anything, because it's really hard to like self-reflect and say, I'm good at this and I'm good at this and I'm good at this. I mean, I can do that to a certain extent, but what is my gift? I think my gift is seeing the good. I blindly trust people. I see the good in people. And I think that is probably my gift. If I break it down to the very nitty gritty, the next part is okay, if I know what my gift is, then how do I create a purpose out of it? Because my gift is something that fills my heart. And by doing that, I do, because I see the good in people and then I try and help them see that. And then that's where the fulfilling part is. But then what can I do? There's so many different ways I can use that gift to create a purpose, the passion. And so the next hurdle is how do I use it? And then finding a way to, because there's so many different paths to use any gift. If if you're a musician or whatever that may be, you could be in an orchestra, you could have your own band, you can just write music, there's so many different ways to see it. So, I mean, when I think about purpose, it almost feels daunting. It's not as daunting as the word makes it seem, I don't think.
Hold on one more.
That's a great point. I think the even the term purpose it's a weighted term. We've attached all these things to it that makes it feel like a very heavy principle, you know? And I think that that's a good point. I think that we potentially even complicate purpose more so because we feel like I feel like my purpose should be something big and grand, and maybe, you know, more so giving the credit. And you made a great point on that too, Steve, on recognizing our strengths, which a lot of people, I mean, humanity overall is bad at this, but people who've struggled with addiction, a lot of us lost any sort of positive self-image going through that, and then trying to get yourself to, you know, give yourself praise, give yourself recognized strengths in yourself again. It's a huge hurdle, huge obstacle.
Go for it, John.
Yeah, I think like for me, so much lost time, just being an alcoholic over the years. I had to just, you know, once I got clean, just kind of figure out like, who was I before, you know, I started using, and basically, you know, what did I want to do when I was younger, you know? And I think like, it's funny, the more years I spend sober, I'm just like, you know, I feel like I'm young because I'm figuring stuff out like younger people are now. It's just crazy. And it's fun. I mean, like, I'm, you know, learning myself, and, you know, you know, I think back a lot and I'm like, whoa, this is the stuff I liked to do when I was a kid. I'm becoming a person again. This is awesome. But you know, I'm behind, you know, so like I'm 44. A lot of my friends are already like more established and stuff like that. But I feel like I'm in the path of doing stuff I want to do though. So like in ways I feel like I am like really lucky to be where I'm at, but it's rough, you know, it's a lot. It's tough.
So what you just said there, for me, when I was thinking about this topic, authenticity, which I am really good at mentioning on this podcast because I'm really passionate about it. Authenticity is absolutely required to even start to uncover your purpose. And for so many of us, we lost ourselves completely, right? Not even just in addiction, but, you know, for me, like I started losing myself when I was a teenager. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to be accepted. I changed everything about myself and twisted and bent and just adjusted constantly until I felt like I was somebody that could be accepted. And, you know, eventually drank away the pain and loneliness of that. But by the time you get sober, you're like, I don't even know who I am. Like you were saying, John. And I think that authenticity is knowing yourself, knowing your heart, knowing what is meaningful to you. I think it's really, like, it's absolutely necessary if you're going to even start thinking about what is my purpose, what is my gift. And I loved faking things for so long that I was good at it. So, you know, I live on a farm and I'm good at it. And forever I was convinced that was my purpose and that was my gift because it fit in with the image that I had created that everybody loved. And I mean, it's nice, but this isn't my purpose. And it took getting sober and finding my true self to be able to look around my life and be like, everything I created has nothing to do with my actual meaning and purpose in my life.
So,
and then you get to undo it all.
I think what you hit on is it's not like finding your purpose isn't just one question. It's a whole bunch of questions and it's a culmination of a whole bunch of things, right? It's an experiment is what it is. You're going to try something. You might like it for a while and then not. And that's okay. I think that's part of the thing is like, I'm good at it. And like you say that, right? I was good at what I did too, but it didn't fit me anymore. And so now I'm trying to work on finding what does fit me. And that's part of this experiment.
I think it's okay too for your purpose to change throughout the course of your life. And I think this goes back to the pressure of what is my purpose? I must find my purpose, right? My purpose today could be totally different from my purpose 5 or 10 years from now. And as long as I'm okay with that, like I know what my purpose is today. That's good enough, right? I don't need to commit to it for the rest of eternity because that's a little bit daunting. And it's okay as we grow and change for the scope of our purpose or our entire purpose to grow and change too, I think.
And growth is important. Growth is very important. It's a lot of people, like, I'm only 28. I get a lot of kickback because I used to be out hanging out, very social, very interactive. But when life got serious, I fell back from everybody and from everything. I had placement over both of my children. And my daughter was knocking on the door. I had to let her in. She's not good. She just sit there knocking at the door the whole time. She don't. I told her I was on a podcast, but she don't care. She's the daddy's girl.
It's all good. We like kids here.
Absolutely. That dealing with my children, it has made me open my eyes to a lot of things. At 28 years old, my dad killed the girl that he was with, set the trailer on fire. This was back when I was 6 years old. He was 28. I'm only 28 now. And the way that I've changed my life completely, I live with a purpose instead of living like a ticking bomb. Like sometimes as being addicted to something, you've got an impulsive disorder where you just want to react to some things and we don't think about what's going to happen on that flip side of things. We just kind of act off of impulse. And my growth has taught me to live for a reason instead of falling for anything, because now I think twice before I snap out about a situation. I have to recall that somebody's probably watching somewhere, somehow. If I get arrested or something like that, then I'm going to be on a news article. Then everything that I'm standing for with my food truck, with impacting the youth, it makes me look bad with what I'm trying to build. So I try to remember that when I get irritated and frustrated with life. There was a day that I prayed and wished that I could get out of the situation I was stuck in. And to do it at a young age, that's it's few and far between. But I feel like I got clean so early because I started getting high so early. Like, I started on Percocets when I was 13 years old. I should have been in school somewhere, you know, and I lost my grandmother. My grandmother died from throat cancer when I was 15, and I went off the deep end. Like, I really didn't care about how bad my addiction got. And now I know that the way that I positively impact people now, I feel like she's watching me, you know what I mean? We're watching how I move and what I do in life in a positive manner. Like, they can't take this from me. The impact I make with my food truck, nobody can take it. I own it. I didn't lease it or buy it from a company. I built it with my own two hands. And if you would see kids, like, last year I fed over 1,000 kids for free with my truck. They were doing a first responder police event at the school. I got linked up with one of the officers I went to school with, and I asked him if I could bring my food truck out there. And man, these kids, these just happy kids were out there shaking my food truck like a mosh pit. Like, they were literally shaking my truck. But the way that I felt giving back to them kids, man, it is amazing, because now I can't even walk into my son's school without somebody's random kid coming up saying hi to me. I don't even know who he is or who they are, but I know that they know me because the day I fed all the kids with the truck. And that's living in my purpose. But I don't think that the food truck is something that, like Julie said, it's not forever. It's not something that I feel is going to be for the rest of my life. I really want to be a motivational speaker and travel the world.
I think you touched on something really important there a little bit earlier on, and that's understanding our values. And that's one of the most powerful things I've done in recovery. The first time I quit drinking, most of our listeners know that story, but I quit for 14 months and then relapsed for a year. And then now I'm, you know, another 2.5 years in. But the very first time I quit drinking, my therapist asked me, what are your values? And she gave me this list, and she asked me to pick my 10 most important values from that list. And that was a hard exercise to do. But if you can sit down and identify the things that are really important to you, what really drives you, that goes a long way in helping to uncover your purpose. I know for me, you know, things like learning and teaching were really important, and they have been my whole life. And just understanding that kind of helps pick the direction that you start to travel in, and it helps you make decisions about things true to your purpose and in alignment with your values. And I think it's a really helpful tool. In fact, I can actually, maybe I'll include that in the show notes where you can download the list of values and figure that out if any of our listeners want to.
I think Gary mentioned something too, was using past experience, right? He's got a whole bunch of past experience. And I think all of us have probably used that past experience. John talked about lost time. You know, there's the loss, and then there's the past experience of what I didn't do, what I've missed out on, that drives the passion to find that gift or to live out the purpose, right? Like, I know I've found a lot of passion in recovery from just being in the group and having these conversations. Like, these conversations are always, always, they put more fuel in the tank is what they do.
Well, I was kind of reflecting on, like, how can you tell if you're living your purpose, you know? And I think that that's a bit of what it comes back to is that you feel driven. You feel, you know, this is the thing that pulls to you. It's the thing that wants makes you want to continue on the path that you're on. It's the thing that feels like things are clicking and things are making sense and they're aligning the way that they should. And not to say that it's going to be easy, you know, but it's just, it's the thing that feels right.
I think for a lot of people too, they know their purpose. In their heart, they know their purpose, but it is super vulnerable and super scary to say it out loud. This is what I think that I should be doing. This is what I want to be doing. This is this dream and passion that I have. Because then there's the fear, like, oh my God, what if I fail? What if I say this out loud to the world? What if I even write it in a journal and I never do anything with it? And all the what ifs. And then you're like, maybe that's not my purpose after all, right? Like, I mean, I remember the first time I said out loud, I want to be a recovery coach. That was scary. So like, who the hell am I to say something like that, right? But you put one foot in front of the other and you start making it come true. But I think there's a lot of people who probably know deep down maybe what their purpose is and are just a little bit too afraid to say the words out loud yet.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought the first thing after Michael, you said that, I was like, that's vulnerable, big time vulnerable. You took the words right out of my mouth there, Julie. If you're listening right now, grab a pen and paper after this and write that down and tell me it's not terrifying because of this.
It is. John, you were nodding while I was talking. What do you think in there?
Well, I think what Michael was saying, like, I think if you do feel that motivation, it's got, you know, there's got to be some kind of right to it. But I think like the fear for me is like, you know, I think like the more time I'm sober, I just feel like I am more motivated with life. But like, I just don't want like, and I know where we're at now is not necessarily going to be where we are in the future. But like, there is that fear, like, is this wrong? But like, I don't think that it could be like absolutely wrong if you feel so motivated about it. Like, you know, if you're feeling comfortable doing what you're doing, there's got to be an element of right to it, even if you're not in the exact place you want to be. You know, you just got to keep going from there and just building on it. You just got to keep building.
If you get really good at listening to your inner voice, you're going to know if you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things that you can only do if you're sober, right? Like we drank to shut our inner voice up. Every time it was like, no, don't do that. We're just like, shut up, and we drink more, right? So, I mean, you have to be sober to really be able to hear your inner voice. But once you're able to hear it, I think you definitely know if you're on the right path or not.
And I think it ties in a lot to that fear of failure too. I think maybe that's kind of a bit of what you were getting at there, John, is it's terrifying to put it out there and then have it not come to fruition, or to try, heaven forbid, you try and it doesn't come out, right?
Or even worse, like a few years later, you're like, whoa, that's what I was doing? Oh my gosh.
That's what we have to learn, though. That goes back to experimenting. Try it. You know, if this feels like the right thing, take some steps that direction. And maybe that is the right thing. And maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. But
I like how you said maybe that's the right thing and maybe that's not. In January of 2022, I started a construction business. And it wasn't that I was an expert person at construction. I just learned a lot from working for other companies. And instead of getting paid from a employee's rate, I could get paid as a business owner rate. And me starting that construction company is what helped me to build my food truck, because I saved every dollar that I made for the construction company, and I built something that I love to do. Because when I was a juvenile, I got locked up. They sent me to this bridge program in Northeast Philadelphia, and they sent me to Temple University, and I got my GED, and they sent me to Bucks County Technical High School, and I got a culinary arts degree. And I never thought that I was going to ever put it to use. And through trials and tribulations from being in and out of working at and cooking jobs for other companies, then I started on a food truck with a guy, and he was taking advantage of the fact that I loved to cook. It wasn't about getting paid. I knew he still owed me the money, but he kept telling me, I'm gonna pay you Friday. Friday came and went quite a few times, and I had to walk away from him. And I told him, like, one day I'll own my own food truck. And it's hard to build when you have a vision in your mind, but the people around you doubt you, or they tell you that it's not possible, or me per se, they're like, man, building a food truck, there's no way you're going to be able to make that happen. A food truck is 40, 50, 60 grand to have a food truck. But in reality, I probably had like, I want to say 24, maybe 24, 25 grand into my truck. Now it's valued at 60, 70,000 right now, but what I add into it was far less than that. It just took the determination of me building it. And it was hard, but if it was easy, I feel like you wouldn't appreciate it. Just like with recovery. If you went the easy route in recovery, most likely, not to wish relapses upon people, but most likely, if it was an easy way out, you probably won't appreciate where you're at, and you'll probably wind up going backwards. If you went through a struggle tremendously and you really fought for your recovery, I feel like it would mean more to you than to just throw it away. And I everybody's got their own opinion on relapse as a part of recovery. I feel like if you tell yourself that, you're going to relapse. I believe in self-talk. I believe in motivating yourself, because there's not always going to be a crowd of people around you. You can't always depend on your sponsor. What if your sponsor relapses? Does that mean that you're going to listen to your sponsor and you're going to go relapse? So there's a lot of mixed emotions in recovery.
There sure is. And one of the things there that you mentioned, and I'm going to talk about that and then I'm going to wrap this up. And you mentioned that it's hard. Anything worth doing is going to be hard. Finding your purpose, anything worth doing is going to be hard, and it's going to be vulnerable, and it's going to take a lot of work. The easy way out normally isn't what's worth doing. It's just taking the shortcut. Going through it, building the truck, putting the effort into it, starting from scratch, from nothing. We talked about authenticity, Julie.
Because I can tie authenticity into literally any
you
topic.
You can.
I'm really good at that.
Yeah. But it's true, though. It is really, your purpose comes from you, and it's the gift that you have to give to the world, and it's the way you decide to use it. We mentioned living for a reason, understanding your values, and using past experiences. They're all stuff that fuels that passion in finding your purpose and using your gift. So I want to say thank you, John. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Gary, for spending some time with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much. To our listeners, as always, we want you to know that you're appreciated. If you haven't already, consider rating and reviewing Through the Glass Recovery podcast on whatever platform you're listening from. It's a free, easy way to support our efforts here and get our podcast into the hands of people who really need to hear it. We'll see you back here next week when we dig into the topic of people pleasing.